Welcome to Think Jesus Cafe. This is your Daily 10, and this is your host, Mark Day. Well, last time we took a close look at what the Apostle John meant when he wrote of keeping the commandments of Jesus Christ. And today we want to continue along those same lines, thinking about keeping the commandments, the perfected love of God, and walking in the same way in which Jesus walked. I'll read from 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 through 6 to get us started today. And by this we know that we have come to know him, if we keep his commandments. Whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. As we learned last time, the most essential visible mark of being a Christian is obedience to the Scriptures, keeping the commandments of Jesus Christ. The most essential mark of a believer is being indwelt by the Holy Spirit, but that's an internal work in the heart of the truly regenerate born-again believer. The most essential visible, and I repeat, visible mark of the truly regenerate heart is keeping the commands of Jesus Christ. Now, we learned last time that true followers of Jesus are enabled by the Holy Spirit to keep the commands of Jesus. It's God working in the believer to will and to do his good pleasure. Followers of Jesus don't keep the commands of Jesus out of raw duty because those commands are physically impossible to keep solely by virtue of human determination. The commands of Jesus are supernatural, beyond anything that the natural human soul can accomplish. Those commands are supernatural, so they require a supernatural work to be taking place in the heart of the believer so that those commands may be joyfully kept. Obedience to the Scriptures is the key visible indicator that a person is truly a redeemed child of God. Now, this isn't to say that the truly redeemed child of God is perfect. It's not to say the follower of Jesus never stumbles and never sins. But sin is not a habitual practice. The true believer in Jesus Christ gradually sins less. For the true believer, there's no joy and there's no pleasure in habitually sinning against God. So again, true believers willingly obey Scripture. Now, that obedience is not perfect, but that's no excuse. True believers willingly obey Scripture, and that obedience is an indicator, both to ourselves and to others, that a person has come into a saving knowledge and relationship with Jesus Christ. The unregenerate person, the person who doesn't truly know Jesus Christ, does not embrace obedience. Obedience to the commands of Scripture are of no interest to them. They have no love for the law of God. Why? Because their hearts are unregenerate. Psalm 119, verses 97 through 104 say this. Oh, how I love your law! It is my meditation all the day. Your commandment makes me wiser than my enemies, for it is ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged, for I keep your precepts. I hold back my feet from every evil way in order to keep your word. I do not turn aside from your rules, for they have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. That attitude, that conviction, the conviction of Psalm 119, is not the conviction of the natural, sin-darkened heart. It's not the conviction of the person who is hostile to the God of the Bible. Jesus said in the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 15, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." So in the mind of Jesus, and according to the overall teaching of Scripture, biblical obedience, obedience to the commands of Jesus are reflective of a person's love for God. So, again, let's be clear in our thinking. We're not loved by God because we keep the commands of God. That would be works-based redemption, and that's not what the New Testament teaches. We are savingly loved by God, and then our heart changes. Our once spiritually cold heart changes to being warm towards the things of God. As a result, out of an unquenchable love for God, placed in us by God Himself, we desire to keep the commands of God, and therefore, we visibly do keep the commands of God, not out of force or duty, but out of an honest desire that rises up in our own heart. Now, let's be careful. I can almost hear someone say something like this: "Well, since I don't perfectly keep the commands of God, then God must not love me." Well, sinless perfection is not in view here. A sincere, heartfelt desire to follow and obey Christ is the point of this whole teaching. In chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, John writes this: "Whoever says, 'I know him,' but does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected." Why does John use that word liar? Because keeping the commandments of Jesus Christ are bound up in truly loving God. That little word liar is interesting. The apostle is being very bold here. He's confronting self-deception. He says that if, on the one hand, we say that we savingly know Jesus Christ, but then on the other hand, we don't keep his commandments, then we're liars, because the fact is we don't really know Jesus and our actions prove it. Now, a reader could look at that statement as being out of line, abrasive, and unnecessarily harsh. Some might read that and think it's unnecessary for the apostle to go so far as to call someone a liar. But, on the other hand, a person could willingly receive the apostle's warning here and be tremendously helped in their own life. See, in the spiritual life, it's so very easy to fall into self-deception. And it's easy to lie to ourselves, thinking that all is well between us and God Almighty. But often, things are not going so well. We might easily fall into the dangerous trap of self-deception when it comes to the subject of our own salvation. So, it's helpful to have someone like the Apostle John boldly wake us up out of our spiritual drunken stupor. Look, self-deception concerning our relationship with Jesus Christ could be catastrophic. I mean, the consequences are eternal. The consequences certainly impact daily living in this life, but those consequences also have a permanent and everlasting impact on our experience in eternity. So what is John saying here? John is saying, in effect, hello, are you obeying the commands of God? If you are not, and if you are saying you savingly know Jesus, you are lying to yourself. You are also lying to other people, but tragically, you are lying to yourself. The false teachers that had infiltrated the church weren't following the commands of Jesus Christ. John is saying this: you, true believer, you can actually discern who is a true follower of Jesus and who is not a true follower of Jesus. How? By observing if they willfully obey the commands of Jesus. This is what the Apostle John is getting at in verse 6 when he writes, "Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked." Faith is an observable reality. Those who claim Jesus, those who claim to be one of his followers, those who claim to be true disciples will be imitators of Jesus. They'll walk in the same way in which he walked. True disciples, imperfect as we are, will be joyfully living in ways that reflect the teachings and character of our Lord Jesus. To abide in something is to remain in something. In this case, to abide in Christ means to remain permanently in Christ. Permanent abiding in Christ is possible because the truly regenerate are permanently indwelt by the Holy Spirit, and the indwelling Spirit compels us, motivates us in such a way that our obedience to the commands of Scripture is made visible. John writes this: "Whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected." That word perfect or perfect shouldn't lead us into thinking that we are somehow perfect in and of ourselves, that we've become perfect this side of heaven. What John is saying is this: our obedience to the Scriptures expresses the love that we have for God. In this verse, verse 5, that phrase, love of God, is best understood to mean love for God, which helps us better understand what John is saying. Joyful obedience expresses a person's genuine love for God. When love for God is made visible, that love is perfected. God's own love, the love of God, resides in the regenerate heart because of the indwelling work of the Holy Spirit. That indwelling work causes the born-again person to have a deep love for God and the things of God. But that deep love isn't meant to be held privately. It's intended to be made known. Remember the backdrop. Scripture teaches that every human being is naturally born with indwelling sin, which causes each of us, in the natural, to be hostile to the things of God. It causes us to want to be lords of our own lives rather than submitting to the lordship of another, specifically submitting to the lordship of Jesus Christ. So, we humans don't truly have a natural love for God and God's purposes. But in Christ, God transforms human hearts. God's love shines into hearts that were once completely darkened by sin. That love of God causes redeemed children of God to love God in return, not out of duty, out of delight. We want to love God back, and that love for God is expressed through obedience. That love is made known. It's made visible to the world through our obedience to the commands of our Lord, Jesus. Love, then, has reached its purpose. Love has been perfected. God's love has been displayed to the world, and that love has made a positive impact on the lives of others. In that sense, the love of God has been perfected. Thank you for joining us in Think Jesus Cafe. This has been your Daily 10. I want to give a shout out today to our friends in Silicon Valley and in San Francisco. George, Mega, Dennis, Dan, Chun Ming, Stephen, and others. Praise God for your Christ-filled presence in the highly challenging, spiritually resistant, high-tech culture here in California. Praise God for you. Join us next time in Think Jesus Cafe as we think about Jesus, a biblical worldview, and real life.